Hi, and welcome to Popcast Gaming. My name is Oscar, and I have a guest with me today, GT from Gamertag VR. Hello.
Hello.
And I'm going to be interviewing him all about his channel and like streaming and YouTube.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy that you were here.
Yeah, man. Well, I was happy to be invited.
For those who doesn't know you, I would like to start that way about you or your channel. Can you tell them a little so they get a little more information?
What I do is I try and provide people, viewers on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube with virtual reality gaming, a bit of information, a bit of news, but mostly my channel is based on gaming and live stream gaming more specifically. And the reason I chose live stream gaming is because I like the interactivity between the viewer and myself. And that way as well, if I'm playing a game, I can answer any questions instead of having to always read back on comments, you know, because I found if I put out a video that is edited, you get a lot of questions back about certain aspects. But if I'm playing a game live and people join me live, their questions are usually asked and answered there and then. So yeah, that's what I do, man. That's what I chose to do with my free time.
Yeah, that's really nice, actually.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I love that concept. So yeah, and nice. When did you start your channel?
November 2017.
Yeah, that's a while ago. And
it is now. You're in 2019, but really it's only a year. Well, it's a year and 4 months now, isn't it? It's a year and 4 months.
Almost the time I started. Actually, I was started a year ago, in Mars.
Right.
So we're celebrating.
Yeah. Nice. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. What fascinates you most about the VR?
What fascinates me most is the ability to forget where you are in reality. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed about gaming in general is you can forget what's going on in the real world. You can, you know, it's almost like, I know it sounds a bit far-fetched, but meditation, for example, is all about quieting the mind. It's all about quieting your thoughts, your erratic thoughts. Gaming does that for me as well. I find when I'm playing a game, I'm focused on that game. And virtual reality is like that, but level 10, you know? It's turned right up and I am in that game and I'm whoever I am. I'm a captain of a starship. I'm a racer in Wipeout, you know? Virtual reality really takes me there. So that's why I chose to do a channel on virtual reality.
And I actually agree with you totally there about VR. That's the most interesting thing for me. So you step someone else's shoes and become a part of that game.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I completely forget sometimes where I am. If I put a headset on, sometimes I forget where I am when I come out, you know? It's crazy.
So yeah, question: how do you manage this and your everyday life?
It's quite tough. I'm married. I've got two children. My eldest child is nearly 16, so he's basically a teenager. He's nearly as big as me as well. And then I've got a daughter as well, who's a bit younger. So it's a bit easier now they're a bit older, because when kids are younger, they need more attention. At the moment, they're at that age where my son's got clubs, he's got friends, he's got a girlfriend. My younger daughter loves playing Fortnite and playing around her friends' houses. So I get a bit of free time that way. And also my wife is very supportive of Gamertag VR. It's something I've dreamed about doing, you know, to be able to not only play games for a living, but to help others make choices or show them games and express how I feel about them. Whether they agree with that or not is another matter, because obviously I don't personally subscribe to people that I don't resonate with. You know, if I don't agree with that person's opinions or their behavior or their actions, I don't ever click dislike on a video. I just don't watch it or I don't subscribe. So yeah, hopefully the people who follow me, you know, watch what I do and enjoy it for that reason. But yeah, it is tough, man. It is tough, but I get addicted to it. And my focus, I get overly focused on the subject at hand. You know, if it's something I want to do, I can't I can't stop thinking about it till I've done it. So that's part of the reason. So having a lovely family and a supportive family is very important.
Yeah, I imagine it is. I'm living by myself and everything, so I can have the time however I want. Mm. I don't have to interact with someone in that manner. So yeah, you have to have a kind of supportive family to be able to pull that off, I imagine.
Yes, yeah, I couldn't do what I do if I didn't have my wife's backing and my children's blessing. So yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time out of your ordinary day.
A lot of time. It's like a second job, to be honest. It's like a second job. And I actually like this job more than my real job.
I think most of us do.
Yeah, man.
What's your plans for the future of the channel? Do you have anything special?
Recently, I've always wanted to cover virtual reality. Finance-wise, the first thing I ever discovered was PlayStation VR. And I could only afford PlayStation VR. So obviously I made content for PlayStation VR, but I never named my channel Gamertag PSVR. My intentions were always to do more for the technology that I love, which is virtual reality. So I reached out a little while ago and Oculus sent me a Oculus Rift. And I was like, wow, dude, like this is what I've always wanted. So I spent some money, got a PC, and now I'm covering PC VR with the Oculus Rift and PlayStation VR. And I'm hoping to step into Oculus Quest as well, or I will be. There's no hoping. I definitely will be stepping into the Oculus Quest as well, because I believe that mobile VR is going to be a massive step in the right direction for virtual reality. But as for the channel, dude, it's a roller coaster. I've got no idea. I'm just doing what I'm doing and hoping for the best. I really don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. I just, you know, I have an idea and I do it and I hope that people enjoy it, or I talk about a subject and I hope they enjoy it. So yeah, dude, I just take every day as it comes, every day.
So how do you keep everything like going together, like schedule wise and that stuff?
I try and make sure that I'm streaming at the same time every day of the week, roughly between 6 and 8 p.m. UK time in the evening. And at weekends, I just do whatever, you know. I try and do any videos I like and at whatever time, because I've no idea where people are at the weekend, you know. I don't know what they're doing. So I've never quite figured out what time to post videos. Like today, I posted a video at 3:30. Or something. It was just, you know, I just sat there and I thought, oh, I'll do it now. I've got no, on the weekends, I've got no, but Monday to Friday is the same time, pretty much.
So, like, what's your favorite game of all time? It could be VR, non-VR.
Oh, that's a tough one. So I'd like to do a bit of both, really. I mean, non-VR wise, oh no, even that's hard. My favorite game. I like so many games, dude. Can I have a top three?
Yeah, you can have a top three.
Yeah, I would go The Last of Us, Shadow of the Colossus, and Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
That's good choices.
Yeah, if I had to pick three games, yeah.
I'm like, I'm too
chicken. What about you?
The Last of Us. I'm way too chicken to play that. My top three, let's see. I'm actually having a hard time doing that, the top three thing.
It's very tough, dude. I could have done a top 10,
yeah,
but a top 3.
100 I could have pulled off.
Yeah, man.
If I could put every game in the first place.
Yes, as I was saying, Breath of the Wild, I thought of Ocarina of Time. As I said, Shadow of the Colossus. I then thought of Silent Hill 2 when I thought of The Last of Us. You know, I used to love the original Gears of War on Xbox. I loved that game. I played it so much online. So I love gaming in general.
Yeah, me too. You know? I love it. But not horror games. I'm too chicken for that.
I love horror games. I love survival horror.
I love horror movies, but not horror games. I don't know why.
That's different. I don't really enjoy horror movies. I like thrillers, and I like psychological thrillers. I don't like gore. I don't really, and horror films, I'm not really that fussed about, but a horror game, I'm very interested in. A horror game.
Then I have to make the decision for the character to go in there.
Yes.
I can't do that.
I love that. So you haven't played Resident Evil 7?
I've tried it 10 minutes. And I had to have a friend with me to play The Last of Us. And I couldn't even play that then.
Do you know what? Those games, you're not missing anything, dude. Don't worry.
Seen them all the way through.
And yeah.
In my opinion, I'm missing a lot in The Last of Us.
I've seen
the story, at least.
What about Shadow of the Colossus?
I have played it a little, but I didn't have time to enjoy it fully at the moment.
I think that has got some of the best music in gaming, personally.
Have you played the original or the new version?
I've played all three versions. Oh. I've played the PS2, the PS3, and the PS4.
Nice. I have only played the PS4 one.
Yeah, the PS3, actually, because I used to love 3D as well, was 3D compatible, and it was amazing. It was really good, yeah.
I love 3D technology. In my opinion, it's amazing, even in movies and in games. But for some
reason,
I seem to like it.
Yeah, because it's, well, I'm happy to wear a pair of 3D glasses to watch a 3D film. The one film I've seen recently that I wished I would have seen in 3D, but I couldn't do the time, was Alita: Battle Angel. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I was going to see it, but I didn't find time.
What an incredible film, dude. What an incredible film. And in 3D, that would have been next level. Yeah.
So any games you're looking forward to right now?
And let me think. What games am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to Space Junkies when that comes, because I like competitive multiplayer in VR. The thing was, we had so many great games drop last year. There hasn't really been any big games announced so far for, in my opinion, PlayStation VR. Oculus Quest has got the Vader series that I'm very much looking forward to, because I love Star Wars. So, and anything with Star Wars, I tend to want to try or watch. So, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, man, I mean, there's tons of VR content out there, and there's tons of VR games that, like, I now have on the Oculus Rift that I haven't even played yet. And if I have played it, I've played it for like 2 minutes just to see how it is and stuff. And I've got a lot of catching up to do on Oculus Rift. There's probably about 15 games that I need to put on the channel at some point that are big games, you know, to show people that PC VR and Oculus Rift is a very, very good headset. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. But last year was a very good year for PlayStation VR, man. Like Astrobot, Firewall, you know, just loads and loads of massive, great games, Tetris Effect. It just didn't stop. And I'll tell you, there is one PlayStation VR game I'm still interested in, but I have already played some of it, is Blood and Truth. Have you heard of Blood and Truth?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I don't know really much about it.
Yeah, I played it last year at a gaming expo. And I'm looking forward to checking more of that out.
So what's the big difference if you compare PSVR and Oculus Rift?
Controllers. The controllers are the biggest difference, without a doubt. The fact that they're touch controllers, so it knows where your fingers and thumbs are without clicking a trigger, so you can genuinely make a fist, pick something up between your index finger and your thumb. You can pinch things. That's really cool. In virtual reality, I love that interaction. It feels so much more real when you've got hands and you're reaching out for something. I like that. The headset is a little bit lighter. I didn't find it as comfortable, first of all, but I find it as comfortable now. They've both got exclusives, the PlayStation VR and the Oculus Rift. They've both got great games. So that's why I wanted both. You know, I've always done that. I've always had Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation. I need to play all the games. You know, if there's a big game, if there's a Legend of Zelda, I'll go and get a Nintendo Switch. You know, if there's a new Halo, I'll go and get an Xbox. It's just,
I know.
It's just, Yeah,
I'm sitting on every console since 8-bit Nintendo.
So what was your favorite console out of your collection then?
I could just say the most has made more impact on me was Nintendo 64, but favorites, that's hard.
That's good, man. Nintendo 64 was a groundbreaking console, especially with multiplayer games with your friends and GoldenEye, dude.
The game.
Yeah, yeah. Mario Kart. Like, me and my friends spent weeks playing GoldenEye. Weeks, you know? But for me, one of the best ones was the Dreamcast as well.
Yeah, that's underestimated, actually.
That was a superb console. Yeah. I had some great exclusives. Soul Calibur being my all-time favorite fighting game. So, yeah.
I'm not big into fighting games, but I really like that console. The consoles right now is not only consoles. They're like multimedia machines. It's ridiculous how much they can do. They're not consoles anymore. They're multimedia players.
Yeah, and I do believe that physical drives will disappear eventually. Yeah. There won't be... It's a shame because I'm a real big backer of Perp Games, who bring PlayStation VR games, physical versions, to the shops. And I think that's really a really good idea because there's people out there still. A lot of older gamers have got back into gaming because of virtual reality. So to get a game physically in your hands for the developers and for the gamers is still important. Like my PC that I bought 2 weeks ago, I went to put a disc in it and it hasn't got a drive. There's no way for me to put a disc in it. And when I looked it up, disc drives are a thing of the past. Like in PC terms, people just don't use them anymore. So I imagine consoles will try and go that way soon. You know, probably not next generation, but maybe the generation after.
I prefer physical because I'm a collector in one way. I buy those collector's editions.
I've never been that big on physical media. I like if something comes out like Yakuza, where it's got the steel case and like the tattoo on the outside. I like that and I buy that and I keep that.
Do you have any upcoming like special interviews or anything special on your channel coming up?
The thing is, I can't ever really say what I've got coming up till the week before because a lot of developers don't like to be nailed down specifically for an interview. So, and plus the interviews I do are in Rec Room. So they have to be, the stage needs to be built a week before. But we might be getting the 3D Rudder people on the show at some point. That'd be quite cool. Yeah. But apart from that, sometimes it's week by week. So, but yeah.
Do you have like any dream guest or something like you really want to get there?
James Milkey, who we had on, that was a real highlight because he knew from Jupiter and Mars, developer of Jupiter and Mars, he knew so many people in the industry. It was amazing, you know, to hear the way that he interacted with them, that he's good friends with them. So it'd be probably Shigeru Miyamoto. Would obviously be a highlight to anyone. Hideo Kojima, that'd be pretty amazing. And actually, First Contact. I'd love to interview First Contact Entertainment to talk to them about Firewall because that game has really, really changed things on PlayStation VR in VR multiplayer in general. Across all the systems, cross-platform has an advantage because then you've got more than one platform of players, but in general, Firewall is a pretty much consistent player base. There's always people playing, and it will go on for a long time. It is a great game.
Yeah, I agree with you. It completely changed the multiplayer things on PSVR. Like, that's the standard for me.
Yes.
The golden standard, that's Firewall.
Absolutely.
And the recent release of Honor and Duty, that game actually reached that standard in my opinion.
It is a very good game. I know people, I've heard some reviews, you know, they're talking about it's a little bit jaggy, it's a bit ropey in places. It's a strange game. So that game will constantly evolve. It's never going to stop. He will always be taking feedback. He will always implement new ideas, new updates, more enhancements. So that game will never stay still. That review that came out yesterday could be out of date by tomorrow, you know? So that game in particular, and it's very strong on community and being in touch with the community. And the point that a few people have said about it being available for PlayStation 4 as well, is purely for market. There's 90 million PlayStation 4 owners. 3 to 4 million of them own a PlayStation VR headset. So by making that game for flat gamers as well, even though we know that his main market is VR, he's got a potential of 86 million buyers. So financially, it makes complete sense to make their game available on both platforms.
I feel like I'm ripping him off when I look at the price for that game. It's ridiculously cheap.
Yes, he actually said to me, he's had feedback saying the game is too cheap. And I do agree. £7, I think it was £7.50 for a 32-player online war game with tanks and four massive maps. Yeah. And I said, yes, Reggie, it's too cheap. By the way, I don't really review games as such. I play them, gameplay reviews, I guess. I had to buy my copy, but I was more than happy to. And Reggie even had to buy his own copy of his game.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no, because Sony didn't have any review keys ready for the launch, so he had to buy his own game. Oh. I found that so funny.
Oh, he will never reveal this, but I wonder how much he lost on it. Like, how much does Sony take?
I've no idea. They're big backers of VR developers, you know. I think they put a lot of time and effort and money into bringing games to the PlayStation VR, because it's, as far as I know, it's a lot cheaper and easier to bring a game to Oculus Rift currently. Developers have learned a lot from Sony's Q&A, and on PlayStation, as consumers, if you have a PlayStation VR, most of your experiences are very finely tuned. They're good games, you know, they're tested a lot. On Oculus, they don't have to be. There is no safety net for you as a buyer, apart from the fact that you can buy a game and play it for 2 hours and get your money back. That's their safety net. But apparently, when the Quest comes out, they're going to basically have a quality control, which they've never done before. So when you get a game on Oculus Quest, it should be a finely tuned product similar to PlayStation VR.
Yeah, because Sony is like, it has to be 60 frames per second or whatever, if I'm not...
Yeah, there's so many, dude. Like, there is, you know, there's ones where they've got to basically yank out all the cords of the headset and put them all back and take them out and put them all back and take them out and put them all back and, you know, like 100 times. And there's all these different tests that the Sony Q&A do, and it's insane. As I said, I've spoken to other developers, and some of them aren't happy with it, some of them are. You know, when you speak to developers and they've made a game already, these are the people that struggle the most, because they've made a game on Steam and then they come across Sony's Q&A and there's a lot of hoops to jump through to get through that quality control. So, I think it's good. I think it's really good, because then the buyer, the consumer, gets a heavily tested product, which is great.
That's really great, actually. This protects the consumer in that way, but it's also a hard time putting out a demo in time and all that stuff. It takes a lot more time. I've heard that, at least.
Yeah.
It's so time-consuming for the developers.
Yeah, especially if it's their first time putting a game on PlayStation VR. But I imagine once they've experienced it and they know what Sony are going to want, then it'll be easier the second time round.
I think so too. If you get experience, you become better on those stuff. It's like the games that when PS4 launched and you compare them to now, what a big step.
Yes.
It's always like that.
Absolutely.
Consoles, like the games in the beginning and the games in the end of a console, you couldn't even guess that it is the same console.
Yeah, man. Especially with the Xbox 360, I found a lot of games, like the Halo series, for example. Halo 4 was a technical masterpiece. I know there's a lot going on screen and stuff, and it can get confusing, but I'll never forget the first time I started that game up. I was like, wow, this game looks sensational. And that's because they're mastering the hardware and the tricks to get the most out of what's available. And you'll never get that on PC, that optimization, you know. That's why PC needs such a lot of raw power, because no one's optimizing, you know. I mean, there might be now, as far as I know, with VR, that is another thing they're trying to do now, because they want people, they want to make it cheaper. You know, people are interested in getting more for their money than ever, considering virtual reality as well.
So when they released HTC Vive, that was a really expensive product. And in my opinion, that price point was a little bit insane.
They were the first people to mainstream bring out virtual reality. Yeah, like... Yeah. It was, you could go into a shop and you could buy a headset. It wasn't something on TV. It wasn't something that was only in a studio somewhere. You could take it home and experience true virtual reality. How do you put a price on that? And whatever price you put on it, you're setting a benchmark for every other headset. And obviously companies are going to try and make a lot of money, and the R&D that would have gone into developing these headsets would have been years before we'd have seen the Vive. It would have been, I don't know, 5 years, 4 years, I'm not sure of the time frame, but it would have been a lot of research and development to bring that to us. So once, I guess, £900 was announced, some people would have bought it. A lot of people would have not bought it. That's where the Oculus Quest comes in. You know, I think they've actually hit it. I think they've hit the nail on the head with that price. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but I don't think it's a lot of money for a standalone virtual reality headset with no sensors and no wires. I think $399, which is roughly £320 or something, is like a very good price for a launch.
Yeah, if they can manage to pull that off with good quality and all that stuff, it's almost like, once again, we're robbing someone.
I really do believe that the VR market is growing, you know, and I think the Oculus Quest will be a very big deal. I think it's going to be a big part of virtual reality history. Yeah, you know, I think at the moment we're the small people, you know, we're the minority of gamers. I think with things like Oculus Quest, the Vive Cosmo, which is another headset which features inside-out tracking and, you know, wireless gaming, they're the ones that are going to make the real difference to virtual reality.
Yeah, and they will put pressure on Sony to do the same thing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, because, I mean, Oculus Rift, I think the next one's called the S. They're doing another Oculus Rift. I'm not sure if that's wired or not. I imagine it won't be, but it will still be PC bound. You know, it still need a PC to run. So this, and I imagine that's for premium experiences, you know, if there's going to be that. So I don't know, but wireless VR, I think, is very important. That's one of the biggest things that, you know, I've stood on my PlayStation VR wire loads of times, and it's, you know, it's another thing that pulls you out of the experience. That's what it, you know.
Yeah, and that wire, I don't know if you're having the first version or the second version of PSVR, that headset.
I've had both.
Oh, yeah. I have the first one, and oh, that cord is... Yeah, it's noticeable in weight. I can say that much.
Yeah. Yes, it's a lot heavier, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in the way.
Yes.
All the time, in my opinion.
I've seen a lot of people put, like, wire runners on their ceilings and stuff, like a pulley.
Wow.
And, yeah, to keep it out of the way. So the cables are above their head and they can just freely walk around. I've seen that a lot.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man.
Just make sure you don't hang yourself.
Yeah, you turn around a few times and strangle yourself.
Yeah, that could happen.
It could do.
Yeah, but luckily they say, PSVR says you're facing the wrong way, and hopefully you remember what way you turned.
I really believe that it will go wireless. You know, I think technology, especially the way it's coming to us, has evolved very quickly.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit intrigued by that, because we still don't have a wireless, like, picture, like TVs and that stuff properly yet.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to make gaming wireless? Because that's more demanding.
The HTC Vive has already got a wireless adapter for the headset. It's very expensive. It's very expensive. I think that is, I'm sure, without looking, I remember it being £800.
That's expensive, and a pro version of HTC Vive. Oh my, that's just ridiculous.
It is, but I guess there's always someone out there willing to pay it. It wouldn't exist otherwise.
I'm willing if I would have the money.
Not yes. Yeah.
They would throw them at him.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, when I chose to cover Oculus Rift on the channel, some people don't want to see it because it's not a case they don't want to see it because they won't like it. It's probably because they will see it and they will like it, and then they're going to want to buy it and they haven't got the money. So, and I understand that. Personally, I've had to spend a lot of money to do this myself, so I completely understand. But this is my interest, you know. This is my hobby. This is what I want to put money into. You know, I like technology and I love virtual reality. So it's the same as when, like, me and my uncle had remote control cars. Mine was a battery or an electric remote controlled car. His was the same. And the next time I see him, he's got a petrol big monster truck and he's got loads of spares and tires, and then he's taking it racing. It's the same thing, you know. If something really interests you, then personally, I like to explore a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I would pour money into those projects.
Yeah.
Like this project of mine with YouTube, I poured money in it. I shouldn't say how much because that's kind of a lot. But still, yeah. I like good equipment. I want the best. It's the same way with my big TV I'm playing on and all that stuff. It's a 4K television, really expensive. Over £2,000.
Did you go with... I reckon you went with either Samsung, LG, or LG. Sony.
LG.
You went with LG?
Yeah, because of they have both the normal HDR and what is it named? Dolby Vision.
Dolby, yeah.
They have both, so I'm secured for the near future.
Nice.
So yeah, I've poured a ridiculous lot of money in that. And I'm starting to pour in money into this project, so I want good stuff. I love electronics.
Yeah, man. That's why we go to work, and that's why I pour hours into YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, because I want to share the experiences.
I think we're, in one way, this is kind of important. People look at this and we could actually influence them if they buy a game or not.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility, actually. And like you were saying before we started the interview, I think it was, we're talking about when you start things off, when someone helps you out, why are people agreeing to be interviewed? Why are people subscribing to my channel? I think you don't know you're good at something till someone else says it. You don't know if that's any good or what you're doing is good until a lot of people go, do you know what? I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much. And that was the same as me, dude. When people were subscribing to my channel, I was thinking, why? Why are you subscribing to my channel? I'd like to know. And then I could either improve or work even harder on what they enjoy. I like feedback. I do. I really like feedback. But yeah, the buzz. So why did you start a YouTube channel yourself?
Why I started? I got inspired by some guys, I think. And then I just, my first series here was actually me with a friend playing a Swedish game, A Way Out. Have you heard about that then?
A Way Out? I think so.
At least. Yusuf Fares.
Yeah.
I started playing that channel just like for fun.
Yeah.
And then you snowballed.
Oh, cool.
And I started like it was the World Cup in football last summer. And I just, for the fun of it, why don't I just do videos about it? Then it just growed.
Yeah.
And I just continued.
Nice. That's it, man. As long as you're enjoying it as well, it's good.
So it's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Yes.
In the long run, at least. Everyone has days when they just, I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone in any business has that, actually. So it's not
Yeah.
Completely us alone. But I know that a lot of YouTubers are having problems with health because they're overworking.
I've put on a bit of weight, but not a lot of weight, luckily. I mean, I used to be, I get obsessed with something. If I really like it, I can't stop doing it. So the gym, I used to be in the gym 4 to 5 days a week, possibly five actually, for 2 to 3 hours every day, guaranteed. And I used to do like boxing. I've done karate, kickboxing, a bit of taekwondo. I've done anything I love that it gives me a buzz to be healthy and physical. And it also gave me peace of mind because when I wake up, I'm very energetic. I wake up and I'm like, I need to go and do something. So the best thing for me was to go down the gym and within an hour, hour and a half, I feel better and I feel like I can get on with my day. So doing this, YouTube became, or the communicate, not so much making content, it was more the communication side of it, answering emails, questions, feedback, or playing a new game, making communications. I get a real buzz out of playing games with others. So yeah, the gym went downhill for me a little bit last year, but yeah, I mean, this year I've been back on it. So yeah, I'm getting it back, but I can see how that can happen. But luckily I'm very aware of my body and I'm aware of how I look, and I don't feel happy if I don't feel I look respectable or good. You know, everyone has their own opinions of themselves, and mine has never been particularly great of myself. I've always thought I can look better. And I think it was around October, November last year, I realized that I was spending far too much time on YouTube and not enough time on my health. So yeah, I've changed that round, and it's a very good point that you bring that up.
Yeah, it's really important because I've heard of a lot of YouTubers, like, they're burning themselves out, literally. They're like hitting the wall.
Yeah.
Because they feel the pressure so much doing content and all that stuff. And every other thing just disappears.
Yeah, I've learned a lot, and I've probably got more to learn. There's no doubt, actually. I don't think you ever stop learning. But I've learned to try not to be in competition with others. Try and remember that the only person you should try and be better than is yourself, you know, from yesterday. Try and improve that way. Focus on your plate. Focus on what you're doing, and hopefully things will go well. I think it's nice to look around, but to actually see someone as competition, it can be healthy, but it can also be very unhealthy. If you get negative thoughts from someone else doing well, then something is wrong. That shouldn't be the case. And I've had that. I've experienced that. I've experienced being jealous. I've experienced, thinking, damn, I wish I would have done that. And then I realized, I thought, this isn't me. Why am I being like this? I stopped it, and I feel so much better. And I'd rather support others, whether they support me back or not, I don't know, but it makes me happy to support other people at the same time. So, yeah.
And my YouTubing has actually helped me a lot playing with others with my social problems. I haven't openly said this on the channel or in the stream, but I actually have Asperger.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I have some social problems in real life. I'm socially awkward sometimes, and I can't express myself, and I have problems like connecting to new people and that stuff. I don't know what to say and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But this has really helped me because I like the community there. I feel like a more part of this in one way than the other world, but I'm trying to balance that out.
I love that. That is, and I don't think whether your Asperger's has got anything to do with it. I think a lot of people feel like they want to be part of a community, you know, in reality and in VR. You know, it's nice to have on the channel, I've noticed I could be playing a game and everyone's just talking between themselves. They're just, all right, how you doing? And they're just chatting away. And I think this is great. You know, I'm creating, or my channel has become a place that people meet and they say hello, and that's brilliant. Like, that is fantastic. I love that. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, I haven't said it. This is one of the reasons I invited you, but those streams, firewalls that I was in the beginning, that helped me a lot.
Oh, cool, man.
In my social life on YouTube and all that stuff, actually. That helped me dare a lot of things that I wouldn't have done otherwise.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah, so yeah, that's actually important to me, so.
Excellent. Oh, cool, man.
And I said, my social skills are improving, but still, this helps a lot.
Yeah, man. Never take the easy road. Always go for the hardest thing, and then the easy things become easier. So always, what am I finding really difficult? I'll focus on that, and then everything else should fall into place. Me personally, I'm quite lucky, or I'm just genetically made this way. Socializing for me is easy. I've never had an issue with it. Random people just talk to me. I can be walking down the street and someone will just start a conversation. I must have a face that says, talk to me. I don't know. People just talk to me all the time. And I just really enjoy it. You know, I'm a team leader at work. I'm a trained team leader as well. So, you know, I have to shout at people sometimes, and I have to think of other people's safety. And I've always enjoyed just being social. So yesterday I actually got a bit of feedback on one of my videos, and someone said to me, I was watching some of your older stuff and you've really, really come on a lot. And I was like, I know why. It's because I'm now myself on the channel. As before, I would be a little bit nervous, and I'd be a little bit worried about what are people thinking? Why are these people listening to me? You know, all these different things that, instead of just doing what comes naturally, you know, click that button, start playing the game, enjoy yourself, you know, talk to people.
Like I said, yeah, this has helped me a lot. I get more confident, easier interacting with people I don't know, and all that stuff.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is so good.
I'm actually one of the leaders of a support group with my Asperger, and I'm actually going to be promoting that group on Friday for the first time ever.
Wow. And they know you're a YouTuber, and they know you're interviewing people.
They know it in the group, but the ones I'm talking to on Friday doesn't know it.
I bet they're going to be blown away by this, by what you're doing, because I know how... For someone who's not socially awkward myself, interviewing someone is a big deal. It's quite exciting, but you're also nervous.
Yeah. And I actually, that's my old school that I've studied in. So I know the teachers. I went there like 5 years ago. So they will be blown away.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
They will just go like, what had happened, really?
That's awesome.
They wouldn't recognize me in that way.
Oh, wow.
That's
I can't wait. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited for their comments after that.
Yeah, so you should be, man. It's an accomplishment, you know? It's a personal accomplishment. You should be proud of it.
Yeah, I was always that quiet one in the class, or like saying something sometimes, but now it's a whole different person in that way.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so they were actually surprised when I called. I was the one called them and asked for that, because we want to get ourselves out there, getting more members.
Yeah. What, your group?
Yeah, that's support group.
Yeah.
That I'm actually one of the organizers. That's so weird for me.
That's fantastic, because you've actually put yourself in a position where you're having to be social.
Exactly. I have to promote them. I have to get out there. And like in YouTube also, I have to get out there. If I'm going to pull off this interview with someone else or anything, I have to get myself out there.
Yeah.
I have to work on
it. Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
And this forest works really well.
Sweet.
Yeah, but I'm still evolving in that sense.
Stuff. Are you putting this in your interview?
I don't know.
I think you should, because
I have no problems actually saying to the world that I have that. I'm so comfortable with myself in the last year.
Good.
I absolutely no problems.
Good. People will love that because you inspiring others is a fantastic feeling. And if you have something to offer and give that's positive, it should be shared.
Exactly. And if it inspires even one person to take a small step, that's totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be fantastic. I mean, if someone hearing this do that, I really want to know about it.
There you go, man. Put it in the comments below.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit that like button and put it in the comments.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. Yet.
It'll come.
Yeah, it will come. Exactly. Everyone evolves in this YouTube thing.
They certainly do.
Yeah, they really do. But now it has become time to round this off. This was an amazing interview, actually. And yeah, it was really, really nice.
Thank you ever so much for the opportunity to do this with you, Pipe Meister. And I wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Yeah, and thank you for being here with me.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. My pleasure.